What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is Monday, October 5th, and we are coming to you with what I got right and what I got wrong. As always, this segment is brought to you by Colorado Native Company. If you are in any needs for your HVAC services, please reach out to Colorado Native Company. Let Robbie know that the Peanut Gallery sent you. So without further ado, let's get underway, shall we? My name is Jordan Kurtz with comments from the Peanut Gallery, as well as the MMA plug and DenverSportsBetting.com. Let's take a look at this card from last Saturday night over there in Fight Island. Overall, can't say that I did too bad. Now, was it the all but one or two fights that were picked correctly, as I've had on a couple of the recent cards? No, but you know, when we're talking not one, not two, well, only missed three on this whole card. As far as eligible money line bets, we hit 70% on this card. 70%, I don't give a damn what anybody says. If you're talking, you're hitting 7 out of 10 bets in the gambling world, you're doing pretty good. So let's take a look at these. If we look at the main event, called it, said Holly Holm, also mentioned it on the DenverSportsBetting.com MMA preview that we do weekly with Ron Kruk. Mentioned that Holly was gonna take it as far as that main event goes. Holly did have that sense of urgency that I spoke of, and she came out and she proved that she is still a fixture within that women's 135-pound division. Personally, I would like to see it ran back with Jermaine Durand and me, which we will get to in just a second. In the co-main event, you had pretty much, I mean, it was a dud. Felipe and DeCastro, call it for what it is, fight was kind of a snoozer. The only thing worse than the fight itself was Sataki, probably butchering his pronunciation, but the referee. I mean, he was separating them like it was a kickboxing match. Anytime that they started to clinch up on the fence, totally get and totally understand separating if there was a fence grab. But there were some very fast separations when they were just in clinch scenarios, and DeCastro was still being busy. He was still throwing punches, which is why you'll see, as far as the cumulative total goes, that he was able to bounce that volume all the way up, and I believe he finished past where Felipe was in terms of his overall strike count. Obviously, significant strikes were the difference maker as far as that matchup goes. I called for DeCastro to get the win. That did not happen. So that is one of three that we missed right there. Looking at the feature fight of the night, GDR, the Iron Lady, Jermaine Durand and me against Juliana Pena. It was a plus 2300 if you were able to call that GDR submission. She was able to show nuances to her game that we have yet to see up to this point. She's obviously one of the best Muay Thai practitioners in all of women's MMA. There's no denying that. But she showed some solid skill against a fighter known for her grappler in the Venezuelan vixen Juliana Pena. She at one point made an adjustment to start going for the Von Flue choke, and then obviously in the end she was able to guillotine her and completely put her out. Technical submission left her unconscious. Again, I would love to see GDR run it back with Holly Holm, this time with both of them at 135 pounds. Hopefully without the controversy as far as strikes being landed after the round. Let's make that happen. UFC, what do you say? That would be a great number one contenders fight to see who is next to try to maybe make another run at Amanda. I mean, what do you do? It's just tough because Amanda's literally ran through and cleared out the entire division of anybody who you thought would be a prospect. You thought maybe, okay, here's Irene Aldana, who is someone who might be able to bring some punching power to possibly fight the fire of Amanda Nunes. But what Holly did in terms of just pure domination, ran the table for five whole rounds, we don't have a great challenger for Amanda right now. Just plain and simple. Moving on to the next fight, you had Kyler Phillips, stud, you know, goes out there and puts on a great show against Cameron Else. Not really too much detail to go into on that one. get the win. Moving along, we had Daquan Townsend against Dusko Middle Eastern name. I need to get better at pronouncing some of these foreigners' names. Dusko Todorovic. And Todorovic went out there and did exactly what I thought that he was going to do. You know, it's no disrespect to Townsend. He's obviously a tough in-game opponent. He wouldn't have earned the opportunity to get to the UFC if he wasn't. He's just in his each opportunity. You know, he's fell short so far. I believe that marks 0-4 in the promotion. Sometimes there just is a ceiling for certain guys' abilities, and you know it just doesn't exceed that point. So, moving on to the next matchup, which was the featured fight of the prelims, that was Carlos Condit against Court McGee. Now, I missed on this one. I said that Court was going to win. I do think that there was one pivotal moment that kind of changed the tide for the entire fight, which is obviously that drop at the end of the first round that broke Court's nose. I think the Court was winning that first round all the way up until that point. So, you know, then you have him get rocked at the very end of one, which Condit steals that round, you know, ends up taking the 10 points for the drop. In the second round, obviously Court's still trying to gather his bearings and takes him around to get back to himself. So give those two rounds to Condit. Then in that third round, that's where you saw Court really kind of regather himself and make another run at Condit. Too little, too late at that point. You know, he had to figure out a way to finish once it got to the third round. Obviously, from the way that first round ended. But either way, you know, I think that Court still showed that he's got it. I don't think that he's done by any means as far as the UFC goes, even though, yes, he is looking at three straight. Sometimes the company decides to make some decisions at that point. Hopefully that's not the case at all. I'm a big fan of Court. Court has always been nothing but cordial and a great individual to interact with whenever I've been around him in person. So, Court, hope that you're doing well in spirits, buddy, and I hope that you get another opportunity to get back in the winner's circle in the UFC. Next fight was a push. That was Charles Jourdain against Coulibal. That went to a draw. So as far as any money line picks, those were all voided. So no need to go into that one. The next fight from there, you had Jordan Williams and Imabov. I picked Jordan Williams. He had a very impressive showing the other night on the Contender Series. Obviously, it didn't go his way on Saturday night. Got beat up a little bit, but he stayed trading the entire time. So that's that one is on me. I thought that he would be able to figure out something. You know, it seemed like he finally had figured it out after multiple appearances on the Contender Series, and the big momentum was riding on his side. But obviously, that only carries you so far in the fight game sometimes. In the next fight, You have a real tough competitor. I don't know if I can say that she's a contender yet, but she's an exciting prospect. The very first UFC signed TIE fighter in Luma Boon against Jin Yufrei. I called that she was gonna get the win. I just thought that she has a little bit more polished striking technique. They're both very solid. Obviously, Jin Yufrei, she was an Invicta champion, but when you're talking, you know, with Loma, she's been a martial artist her entire life. Grew up in a martial artist family. Has been training since she was essentially like 7 years old. So I think that highly specialized training in just those thousands upon thousands of reps through the years are going to carry her through in her future as far as that 115 division goes in the UFC. Casey Kinney. Man, what a dominant showing from Casey Kinney. If you recall from the Denver Sports Betting MMA preview, Casey Kinney was my spotlight fighter for the week. Boy, did he show out. He did everything that he possibly could to try to finish. But just ultimately, hey, sometimes you have to tip your cap to the other man and say that you were a tough SOB in there tonight. Casey obviously wasn't able to get the finish, but flat out dominated. I mean, you can make the argument that each round could have been a 10-8. So that's how good Casey Kenney looked. He hopped out of the octagon after the fight and said that he wants to fight next week, walked right up to Mick Maynard and said it. In the curtain puller, my man, Luigi, the Italian Stallion, Vendramini, Factory X, the X on his chest, got his UFC debut win, or excuse me, got his first UFC win after he had his initial debut, in which he got hurt right away in that first fight. So comes out, puts on an absolutely exhilarating performance, knockout right away to start the night, 50G bonus. Welcome to the big show, Luigi. I'm glad that you were able to find yourself in that winner's circle after a couple of years of battling some tough injuries and adversity that was beyond your control. And you were able to officially get that first UFC win to truly feel like you belong as a part of that exclusive fraternity. I'm so excited to see what may continue to come, because this man is nasty, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you saw his striking. That wasn't even really giving you any sort of clue as to what he brings in the grappling department. So look for big things to continue to come from Luigi. Let's take a look at a couple of the parlays that I presented to you, just so that we're hitting all bases that we presented in that first matchup-by-matchup breakdown preview. I said in a five-pick parlay that I'm taking Casey Kenney by a finish, taking Jordan by a finish, not going the distance with DeCastro and Carlos Felipe, not going the distance with Corton Condit, and Jordan Williams to win by finish. I missed every single one of those in that parlay. That doesn't happen very often, but missed that bet in particular. Obviously, Casey Kenney all but got the finish there. Jordan, that was the push, went to a draw. That was a real snooze fest in the DeCastro-Felipe fight. Condit and Court, once he got rocked, was able to, or Condit was able to ride him out for the decision. And then Williams, you know, he wasn't able to let the hands go in the way that he was able to on the Contender Series, and didn't get that finish. As far as the Moneyline parlays, had a six-leg parlay, which turned into a five, obviously, once the push happened. So out of the five, we had Dusko hit, we had Casey Kenney hit, we missed on Court, we had Luigi hit, and we hit with Kyler. So we were one away from that parlay of having a pretty significant payout. That would have been a plus 750 payout on that parlay. So once again, this is what I got right and what I got wrong, presented to you by Colorado Native Company. I am Jordan Kurtz with comments from the Peanut Gallery, as well as the MMA Plug and DenverSportsBetting.com. See you back next week.